done anything like this before. I study this way, and but I've not. I've never taught a class on this. I have no idea how the as far as the markings. My advice would be if you can get 1 week ahead on your markings, that would be good. So if we have a week that doesn't take as long, we can get started on the next marking. We'll just, you know, we're going to play this by ear and see how it goes. Did you have any questions on the first page? And I asked y'all to do several weeks ago, but as far as the instructions and anything, was there any questions on any of that before we start week two? Okay. I hope that you're doing the reading because you're not going to get the benefit if you don't do the reading, because that's part of it, is by repetition, you remember things, you pick up things, and so I'm hoping that this, the reading and the marking that we're going to do today, the reading and the marking we're doing, looking at this morning, this grew out of something that Steve did. There were several people who called him who lived away. Amiko was having a hard time studying and knowing what to do after she left, and so he had put together something for a daily reading, or some. I think there were like 15 or 16 days, not that you did it every day, but they were set up as daily readings. So I took and combined and worked on it and tried to work it out for weeks rather than for a day thing. But I added this marking just because, to me, when I read through there, it was just so prevalent and something that stuck out with me. And I hope it will show us two things, the whole study and also the one this morning, how important it is to read God's Word. If we don't read and have God's Word in our heart, we are not going to be the people we need to be. And we need to read to understand. We need to try to understand what we're reading. You know, it's not, you know, you can scan through the newspaper and you may remember a thing or two here or there, and you know, you may not even remember all the story or even remember it accurately because it really wasn't that important. You just kind of scanned over it. I want us to see that reading God's Word and trying to understand what we're reading is very important. You know, we all say, I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. I'm so involved in so many things. My life is so hectic. I never seem to have enough hours in the day or enough days in the week. How many of us feel that way? You know, I guess everybody does. I don't care. You know, I used to think when I got my kids grown, I was going to have all kinds of time. I just thought that it was magically going to be that I wasn't very busy. Well, somehow it's worked just the opposite. I seem busier now than I was when I had kids at home. And I think part of that is because I was more structured. I had certain things I had to do for them, and I was home more. It wasn't as easy to somebody to call and say, I need something, or can I talk, or whatever. You know, I've got to be home at 3:00. You know, well, now there's no time constraint, so maybe that's the difference. I don't know. But I put together some questions for thought, and I'll pass these out at the end of the class here. And these are not for discussion. I just want you to think about these as I read through them. Are you one who likes to read? You know, I'll be honest and up front. I'm not a person. I was never a person, even when I was in school, that read a lot of library books. I feel like I read well and I understand what I read. That was just never my favorite thing to do. I wasn't a reader. But do you read the newspaper on a daily basis? How many magazines do you read or at least spend time looking at every month? How many books do you read in a month or in a year? If you are a reader, and I know Lauren and I think Elizabeth get a lot of books from the library, and I'm not singling them out, I'm just asking questions here. Because I know they do read and study the Bible, that's not the point. But we talk about how much time we have, so we start looking at what we do with our time. How much time do you average reading secular materials of various types in a month? I mean, whether it be magazines or other things you get or things on the internet. You know, sometimes we get newsletters on the internet. How much time do you spend reading those? How much time do you spend watching television and movies? You know, you're not a reader, so it's easy to spend your time watching TV or movies. How much time do you spend doing that? What other ways do you spend your spare time? And then we get down to how much Bible reading do you do other than studying for Bible class? Do we ever just sit down and read to try to read and understand what God is talking to us? Or is it only study we do is what we do for either this class or the Sunday or Wednesday classes? Have you ever read the whole Bible through in a year? Just started in Genesis and gone. We had a reading schedule here for a while that was, to me, a little more mixed up because you were reading the prophets in order with where they fell in time rather than reading them at the end. And that's good. I did that a couple of years, and that helped some. But sometimes it's just easier, especially with the history part, just to be reading through the history part of it so it's cohesive rather than breaking it up with the prophets. But anyway, have you ever done that? Have you ever read just the New Testament through in a year? Just read every book in the New Testament? Do you see a need to read through the scriptures on a regular basis? And so these are things that I'll pass this out, and y'all can look at and think, because we have these things up at the top. I'm so busy. I'm so involved. You know, we act like we have no time, absolutely no time to study or read extra the scriptures. And what we need to do is be honest with ourselves. Do we really not have any time? Do you not have 30 minutes out of a whole week that you could spend reading something? Say, pick a book, Book of John, Book of Mark. You know, some of the epistles are not very long, just like Ephesians. You can read Ephesians in 30 minutes if you're a slow reader. I'm not really timed it. I'm not a slow reader, but it doesn't usually take me 30 minutes if I'm just reading it to read it, not and try to look for anything. So anyway, these are things that I want us to think about as we go through this this lesson. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, because this is sort of the, to me, so important. It shows us one reason we need to read and why it should be important to us to read. Elizabeth, would you read that, please?
By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my...
No, start in verse 1, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1 through 5.
1 through 5. Mm-hmm. For this reason, I call the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation it was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit.
Okay, so here this mystery, that there's a mystery here that he's talking about, and he said it was made, verse 3, by revelation, that mystery has been made known to him. Does anybody have any idea when he says, as I wrote before in brief, does anybody have any idea what he's referring to there? I think it's what he wrote in chapter 1 and 2, that the Gentiles have salvation. Because he goes on to say in verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow protectors of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So he's given them a brief synopsis, and as we go through and look at our marking, we're going to see this. And I think it's mostly in our next marking, the next week's markings, that we'll see this.
In chapter 1, in verse 9, he says, you know, he actually refers to the same thing. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That in summing up of all things in Christ, that, you know, we've been obtained an inheritance, and he goes through, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's referred back to his insight, and previous to that, like you said, you know, He's talked about the blessings in Christ and things that he has written concerning these Ephesians.
But I think to the Ephesians, he's talking about what he's just told them in chapter 1 and 2.
Yeah, me too.
And so it's important that we know. You know, back, we have a blessing. We're Gentiles. If this mystery had not been revealed, even if it was still in place, if it had not been revealed and the plan put in order, we would have no hope. Unless we wanted to become Jews. Be a proselyte. And so this is a very important thing. And this is such a, as we're going to read next week, the blessings we have are so numerous and so important to us. And so how am I going to know about that? How am I going to know what blessings I have? How am I going to know what I have to do to obtain those blessings if I don't read and strive to understand what he has talked about? You may not want to do all of the markings that we're going to do, like the one today. I have not done this marking in my Bible, where we mark Christ and the pronouns and God and all his pronouns and the Holy Spirit and all his pronouns. I have not done that particular marking in my Bible, because what you want in your Bible when you do the markings, you want them to be brief and concise. You want them to stand out as to what you're wanting to see, so when you're reading through that it jumps out at you. And there is something on my glasses, and I'm not seeing my page. I'm sorry. What in this, and this may not be a good question, but in the marking you did today, was there anything that stood out or made me, you were surprised at, Sandra?
One thing that I noticed as I was going through it is almost all the chapters talked about God's grace.
Okay.
I thought that was real good.
Okay. Anything else that anybody noticed that was so, that just kind of...
Things are in Christ.
Okay. One thing that stood out with me, and I guess this is what impressed me and caused me to do this marking, is how many times all three of these are mentioned. Did anybody happen to go through and count up how many times Christ or his pronoun occurred? It's 36 times in chapter 1, 23 times in chapter 2, 15 times in chapter 3, 24 times in chapters 4 and 5, and 17 times in chapter 6. So that is 139 times in this small book, as we printed it out, 11 pages, and in my Bible, 7.5 pages.
Christ or
his pronoun, he, himself, beloved, anything that referred to Christ is what I marked. And so... You know, when there's that many times that he is referred to in this very short book, does that not tell you that there's something here that this is important? That everything is in him and through him and by him, and it's everything refers to him. I did something wrong here. I don't remember how many times God appears. I did this on a chart. And I put something in the wrong place. Or something didn't come out on the chart. But anyway, in chapter 2, it's 13 times. Chapter 3, it's 14. Chapter 4 is 7. Chapter 5 is 6. And chapter 6 is either 5 or 6, depending on how you count it, in verse 23. And I was thinking I wrote it in my Bible, but I didn't. But anyway, I know, I've got it right here. Hang on. In chapter 1, he appeared 32 or 34 times, depending on how you count chapter 2 and 3. Well, that's what I've got here. I just didn't read it right. Depending on how you count verse 2 and 3, because like in verse 2, it says God our Father, and verse 3, it says God and Father. So it depends on if you count that once or twice. So... He appears 32 times, or 34 times in chapter 1, for a total in the book of 77 or 80, depending on how you also count chapter 6, verse 23, if you count that as 1 or as 2. Chapter 6, either 5 or 6, depending on how you count verse 23. And then the Holy Spirit appears once in chapter 1, 3 times in chapter 2, 2 times in chapter 3, 3 times in chapter 4, once in chapter 5, and twice in chapter 2, for a total of 12 times. So it shows they're working, all of their working. Just this one small book, we can go and see that there are three persons in the Godhead. Have you ever had a friend or known anybody who believed there was only one person in the Godhead, that they're all one? They'll say there's one God, so there's only one person. And this shows three people and the different things they did. And so if you run across somebody and you think, oh, how am I going to refute that? Go to Ephesians. If you have the marking on the sheet of paper, and that's what where I would recommend you do it, and you have it filed away somewhere, or have a note in the back of your Bible how many times each one of them appears, and just start going through there and showing them that, you know, this, how can there just be one person? And especially when we start reading and looking at the things that each one of them did. And so, to me, that was very, would be a very good book to use to show that there are three persons in the Godhead. And so, there's a lot of good things that we can do if we just know, and things that we can answer without having to be afraid. The more familiar we get with the Bible and what is in it, the easier it's going to be for us to talk to people who bring up questions or may say something, because sometimes we shy away because we feel like I don't know enough to answer them. And the more you read and the more you have confidence that you know, you may not know what and there are things people say to me, and I say, I don't know, give me a few minutes and I'll find it. I'm not really good, never have been. I'm not good with numbers, and Steve fusses about this all the time. He says that's not true, but it's not. I can add and I can subtract, but as far as remembering numbers and retaining numbers, I don't very well. Some people ask my kids' telephone numbers. I said, I don't know, they're on speed dial. And even when they work, half the time I have to look it up. You know, you think, good grief, God. And I call my kids all the time, so it's not like I didn't use them. But anyway, if you can just get familiar, make notes in your Bible. Don't be afraid to write and mark in your Bible. I know most of you here are not, but we've met people who almost feel like it's a sin to write in your Bible. It's sacred. Two things I would recommend. I would recommend that whatever you mark in your Bible, you do not use a wet marker. Most of the markers will bleed through. I'm sure 99% of the people in this class know about these, but you can buy a marking pencil that has 9 colors in it. And if you learn to circle and underline and do those kind of things, then but this will not bleed through. It's kind of like a map color, and so you can use that. I would also recommend that you not use a ballpoint pen, because that bleeds through also on the thin pages. It may not right away, but after several years, it will bleed through, and you know, you're wondering which side of the page it's on. The only way you can tell is because it's written backwards on one side. So if you want to keep it to where you can, you know, be easier to use, those are just suggestions. Justin, do you have a question?
Where do you get that?
You can buy this at a bookstore called Mardell's, and there's one down on 1960 Elizabeth Works. It may be. They're in the phone book. And you can also order them. But the cheapest place I've ever found them is at Mardell's. They used to be about $25 or $30. There was a little place here in Humble that sold them, and they were about $25 or $30. But
Lifeway used to
know. Lifeway did? Okay. Well, I've never looked in there. But just look around in the bookstores. They're by Pentel. It's a name brand. And so, and you can buy refills for them. So it's, you know, it's something that you don't have to replace when you use them all up. You can buy refills for them. Okay. Are there any questions or any comments anybody wants to make before we start looking at the marking and see how we did? Deanna said the only reason she's sick and the only reason she's here is because she had trouble with summer marking. So some of the he's and the pronouns here. So nobody has any questions? See, I told y'all this may go real fast. I don't know.
Well, I have a question. I didn't get 36 Jesuses in chapter
1. Okay. Well, I counted like Christ Jesus
as two separate
ones. Okay. That's, and like Lord Jesus Christ, I counted it. So again, it depends on how you count them. I did that because it just showed the prolificness of, even though, you know, it's referring to the same person, he had different names that were used for him, and so that referenced him in three different ways. And so, yes, I'm sorry. I should have. And this, again, is something that I need to, you know, I didn't ask y'all to count, and so I didn't, but if I do that next time, I may add that to the lesson, because I think it is prolific. One other thing while I am thinking about this, on your marking for next week, I'm going to make a suggestion, simply because you're going to run out of colors and it gets so crazy. On the marking, on the end, if you mark the end, what I did on mine is I circled the end and the phrases that end with, in the name of, and that sort of thing. I circled that, and then I underlined what the blessing was in the same color. So it did, you use less color. I did mine on the computer. If anybody would like to do this on the computer, I'll be glad to send it to you on the computer. But anyway, even if you don't do it on the computer, that way you can only use one. You only take up one color. And it's if you want to use that. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine. It doesn't matter. That was just something I found in my marking. And there were several of the other things that I did that way. I could use the same color for something when I did when I marked it a different way.
I circled also, but like if it was Christ and I underlined it, you know, with the mm-hmm. color, the off, the in, the, you know, whatever. I did it, I circled it in the same color as I did Christ because you mm-hmm. have things of God and you mm-hmm. have things of the Holy Spirit.
Well, but the marking next week are only the blessings that are in connection with Christ.
So you don't want all the odds or the ends.
Well, the one, what the question is, mark the, yes, the through, but it's through Christ. It's in Christ. It's of Christ. It's the, what we're looking for next week in our marking are the blessings that we have in connection with Christ. That's the blessings that we're to mark. It's the ones that are in connection with Christ.
You do ask the how many times question on that
week. Yes, I did. Because I want us to see how the blessings, how prolific our blessings are. And sometimes I think we read through there and don't realize. And some of them are stated more than once. And I did go ahead and mark in my marking, even though like redemption, I think is mentioned more than once. And maybe salvation, I marked. Each time it appeared, I marked that. So, and I'll have to go back and look and see how I counted. If I counted those just one, I think I just counted like it was redemption. I just counted that one time because it's the same blessing. Okay. Did anybody else have trouble figuring out who the pronouns were and how they went? Okay. I'll be honest, I did.
I did in chapter 1.
In chapter 1?
Right.
Yes, and also over in chapter 2 also there's an area that's kind of rough for me. So, okay. Well, I think what we'll do is we'll read through the chapter. We'll give, we'll read a few verses each, and then we'll stop and see who the pronouns were. We'll start on the back. Amanda, would you read the first three verses, please?
For Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, the pronoun here, who does that refer to? Who? Who has blessed us?
Which verse?
No,
verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in, with every spiritual blessing. Who is that referring to?
God.
Okay. Dawn, if you'll read 4 through 6.
So that's the only one in those three verses? I did something wrong.
I did Jesus
that's
Christ.
No. We're just talking about the pronouns. Surely, we're not having any trouble with who Jesus and...
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you... the only ones that I'm looking at today, unless we need to, I have Christ Jesus and God and Christ Jesus and God our Father and Jesus Christ the Lord and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ all and Christ. All those are marked. But I think where, I mean, those are pretty evident. And you may have missed some. But what we're going to work on are the pronouns because I think that's where the problem lies.
So I need to be underlining who?
Well, you're supposed to mark in the same color.
Right.
That who like if you think this is God, you mark it in the color you marked God, just like you mark God.
Okay.
If you underlined it, or if you circled it, or if you just marked through it, whatever you did the same thing with the pronouns in the same color for each one of these. Is that not clear?
No, it is.
Okay, so who?
I'm bullying and ask myself.
So who is in verse 3 is marked in whatever color you marked God? Who is a pronoun, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Is it? Is it not a pronoun?
I missed it. I just did he and himself.
I missed
two. Okay, well, this any pronoun. Okay, I'm sorry.
You said it clear. Pronoun.
Right.
I'm sorry. If I can make this, I need some help. If I can make this any clearer.
Who and in whom.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, listen, you're coming to the wrong person. Remember, I only finished the ninth grade, so y'all are handicapped here with the teacher, so But, okay, Dawn, if you'll read 4 through 6.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved.
Okay, every one of these pronouns should be marked the same. Who should they be? God, right. Every one of those pronouns refer to God. Is there any question?
Yeah,
any disagreement?
In verse 4, he chose us in him before
Sorry, I missed that one. You're right, that's in green, not in purple.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's Jesus.
Jesus. Yes, I'm sorry, I missed that one.
And the beloved, of course, is
Christ. But,
right.
I'm sorry, we'll be more specific. Yeah, that's what I didn't consider.
By both of them.
Okay. Just as he, in verse 4, just as he, God, chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world. And then I believe every one of the other pronouns is God. Okay. Any questions? Okay, verse 7 through 9. Laura, would you read those, please? And speak loudly, please. That's okay, Amanda. You don't have to go anywhere. She can just speak up.
And then we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his plan.
Yes.
According to his kind intention, which he purposed in him.
Okay. The first two in verse 7, who is that?
Jesus.
Okay. And then the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, who is that?
God.
Okay. And then the last one in verse 9 is who? Christ. Okay. All right. Let's get down. Just to be sure. Sandra, would you read 10 through 12?
With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory.
Okay, verse 10, the hymn, who is that? Okay, and then in verse 11, his, twice, who is that?
God.
Right, and then verse 12, the his at the end of verse 12, who is that?
God.
Right, see, y'all are doing great. Lauren, if you'll read 13 through 15.
You also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed and were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints.
Okay, that's kind of breaking. Go ahead and finish out that thought through 17.
And I'll cease giving thanks to you while making mention of you.
Read verse 17, that finishes the sentence.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation and a knowledge of him.
Okay, so in verse 13, the hymn at the beginning, who is that?
Christ.
Okay.
This is one of the ones that I had trouble with, actually. In him, you also. Okay, then you go past that little parentheses thing. You were sealed in him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense if it's still Christ. In him, you also, were sealed in him.
We were sealed
you
in
were
Christ.
Sealed in him. Okay.
We are sealed in Christ. That's one of the blessings. We have the seal.
In
we have the
him,
stamp.
You, okay, after believing, we're sealed in him. Okay.
So both of those I have marked as Christ. Anybody else have something different?
Okay. Well, I couldn't make up my mind. because it was that his purpose, his will, his glory is God above that, okay? And he purposed, okay? So, you know, I just, that's one of those one or two that I really had trouble with.
Well, I take that as in Christ, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, and you believe, you were sealed in him. That, were we sealed? Where's our salvation? Where does God put his stamp and say, I'm his? It's in Christ.
Yeah, okay, but God did the sealing.
But it's in Christ. It's in him. It's
yes,
in Christ that
that's
we're
right.
sealed.
And I put the in him.
So it's, okay. But it
I
starts
see.
Out as in him, and then it ends up with, any varying opinions, I'm willing
no,
to listen.
I'm just looking for thought here.
Okay, verse 14, who is the his glory? Okay. Verse 17, down in verse 18, who are the two his in verse 18? And also through verse 19. Huh? Oh, okay.
There is one in 17.
Okay, go back. Okay, who's him in 17?
I put God. That's the other one.
Well, I have Christ because that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and in the revelation of the knowledge. I'm sorry, I'm not reading very well. Let me get that. Let me go back. May give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So in whose knowledge is it that we have? Who do we have to have knowledge in? Or where did God put this for the knowledge to be for us to obtain these blessings? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's that God may give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of Christ. That's how we know about salvation. That is how, that's what the whole thing led up to, was Christ. Everything, all of this is in Christ.
Okay, so that leads, though, to verse 18 that we haven't read yet.
Mm-hmm.
The knowledge, and then that you may know, back to the knowledge, what is the hope of his calling. So it depends on how you mark the his in verse 18.
I think both of those, I think all that's God, but I do think the in him, in the knowledge of him, we have to have the knowledge of Christ that he may give us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of Christ. That is how we get our wisdom, and that's what the revelation of the knowledge is all about, is Christ and his coming and the blessings that we obtain in him. Go on.
Remind back up to 14.
Okay.
Is that him not one of them?
It's the Holy Spirit.
No, I don't have that who marked, so I don't know. I'll have to read and think about that. Let's see.
I'm so confused.
I'm sorry. This is not really that confusing. It's not that hard.
It should be marked. Huh? It should be marked.
Yes.
Is it the Holy Spirit?
Which one?
I would think the Holy Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's opposition to the praise of his glory. We're sealed with him, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is given as a... I don't know. That may be Christ. I'll have to think about that. I'll have to go back and do some reading. Some of these you don't just read. It's on first reading, I would think the Holy Spirit. But I have the option to come back next week and tell you something different.
I think it makes sense to be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's what
it should be considered.
Yeah. Okay, I marked the end of verse 17 is Christ. I'm not saying that that has to absolutely be right. I'm just telling you that's, after working on this for many hours, that's what I came up with. So, because of the reasons I gave you. So, we can continue to think about that I'll make a note here. And I'll do some more thinking about it. Okay. Verse 18 through 20, through 21. Elizabeth?
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us revealed. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his life, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Okay. Who are the his in 18 and 19 and the first one in 20?
God.
And then the first, when he, who is that?
God.
Raised him, who is that?
Christ.
And seated him at his?
God.
Okay. So I threw that one pretty easy. Verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. Who's the he?
God.
And who are the rest of the hymns in 22 and 23, although we didn't read them?
Okay.
Very good.
And 23. This is the other one that I had trouble with based on what was above, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. At first, I marked that as Christ, and then after reading all the chapters umpteen times, I come back and I have a mark both. I put God because of 3:19.
Well, but who's the head of the church? Who's
Christ's body?
Who's,
but it's
who's
the fullness
the
of him who fills all in all.
And who filled all in all? Who was it that filled all things?
But 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.
But we're not, just because you read fullness and,
exactly,
and full every time, you can't make it mean the same thing.
That's right. That's why I changed it from Christ to God. You know.
Well, that's why I have it as Christ, because this, because just because it's the fullness of the knowledge of God over here, or to be filled up to all the fullness of God over here, doesn't mean that the fullness here is the same thing. You're fit who. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is the one who filled everything. He's the one who, which is the, whoever, to me, when I read this, and I'm telling y'all, I'm not the greatest at English, I don't know how in the world I thought I could get through all this, but anyway, God put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so to me, that's all referring to the same person.
Because in 4:10, it does say that Christ fills all things. So, you know, that's why I put both those verses there. I really had trouble.
And Lon's right, I missed a who in 23. Who fills all in all?
The who is Christ?
Mm-hmm. And I may come back next week and tell you.
But you know,
Anne, my cake will be all kinds of
messed up. Listen, we have plenty of copies. No, but the thing is, you need to learn to mark. That's what this is all about. This is teaching us. Because, you know, you read through this, and, okay, I read Ephesians, but I don't know who did what, and I don't know, you start talking about the blessings and who did what, and you have no clue. And so it's something we can understand. What did Paul say in 3:4? And this is a verse that I want us all to memorize. Does anybody know it by heart yet?
When you read, you may understand my insight.
Referring to this, when you read, you may understand my insight. And I'm not even sure I've got it exactly right. My insight into the mystery of Christ. And so it's important that we read. It's important that we know who this who is and this he. And are we always going to get it right? No. That's why you always mark on paper. And we've got plenty of copies. If we need more, you're welcome to have another one. You know, we got a copier back there. We got paper. You're welcome to have as many copies of this as you want. If you mark it all up and you say, this is crazy, I don't like the way I did it, or that's fine. I don't know how many sheets. I don't know how many times this has gone in the past. You know, I've been marking Ephesians. Bill Fitch came here when? How many years ago? Anybody remember? It was not too long after we came here. And sometimes I go through and I think, I didn't mark that right. And so that's okay. But what is that doing? That's teaching you to decide. So you don't have to go, okay, we've got to decide who this is here at the end of chapter 1. So what do people do? They run, they get a commentary off of the ship, and they read what somebody else wrote. Well, what if that person's wrong? You know, this may not be that big a deal, but that's what we do with everything. Lauren?
If you do a study like this and mark on paper, you can figure out what you may want to mark in your Bible.
That's exactly.
In Christ, mark all the way through here. In Christ. I don't do all the pronouns, but I do in Christ because that jumps out at me in my Bible. You know,
that's what I'm.
First three chapters are my lessons in Christ. And so if you see that, it pops at it.
Exactly.
There's some things I do want to mark in my Bible, but not until I've.
Exactly. And this marking, where you're marking every time it occurs, to me that is overwhelming. I'm glad to have that, and I will keep that in a file somewhere. So if somebody starts talking to me, I can go pull that out and review what I believed at that time anyway, and how this marking is done. But marking can be a great tool, and if that's why I say mark judiciously. I have all in Christ, and I have underlined the blessing in my Bible that we get from that. Those are things that I do mark in my Bible. And when we get to the second half, the walk, and I mark some of those things to just stick out at me what the walk is, what is required of me. And so that's what we're hoping to accomplish in this. Okay, chapter 2, let's see, let's read verse 4 through 7, let's read 4 through 10. Who read last? Lisa, would you read, please? Chapter 2.
But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Okay, was there anywhere here? I think this is pretty straightforward. Verse 4, God, and the pronouns that are there are referring to God. Verse 6, the raised us up with him who is Christ and seated us. This one was real hard for me because he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him, and I mark that as God in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that us? Okay.
Raised, I mean, it's like three parallel phrases to me. Raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places.
But then it says in Christ Jesus. So if he seated us with him in Christ Jesus, to me, that was what did not...
He raised us up.
From raising us up with him in Christ Jesus.
He raised us up and he seated us with Christ, you know, in the heavenly places.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Hey, listen, I have wrestled with this. You don't know how many hours I have wrestled with this and remarked and thrown away and...
We are not leaving this room until we all get this conversation.
Well, we may not ever leave this room then.
Well,
listen, but you know what? What this will do is it will make us, okay, we may have questions, we may disagree, and that is perfectly fine. But what that's going to do is every time we read, we're going to go through and we read questioningly and trying to better understand. But this is what we need to try to do, is understand for ourselves without having to go ask a man, because Paul said when we read, we can understand. Well, listen, my man and I don't always agree on this, so, you know? I mean, he's worked with me on this, and there have been some that I say, maybe
it's not. And that's where reading, and time, so, like you said, first time, second time through there, it had a red mark under it, that's God. Yeah. Okay, and then the second and third and fourth—I mean, the third and fourth time—and yeah, even this morning, I said, I put it in brown. It's Christ, you know. And so I really had a hard time. And you've got to pray about it, and you've got to read it in context, and you've got to study everything else that's said in this book, and go back and you know.
Okay, well, we're going to put a question mark by that one because I want to finish this, okay, in verse 7. I mark both of the pronouns, he and his, as God. Any differences on that? Okay. Verse 10. His workmanship, I put as God. Any questions on that? Okay, down in verse 14 and 15, the he himself, his flesh, himself, he, who do you have that referring to?
Christ.
All that referring to Christ. Hey, we all agreed on that one.
Okay, was that the who in 14?
Oh, you know, I missed some of those. I can't.
Y'all made me look for it, so.
It's Christ. Okay. It is the peace who made both. It's
okay,
Christ.
What verse? I'm sorry.
14.
For he himself. Who? Yes. Christ.
I said the same thing. I started not catching them, and then I missed all these.
Well, I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've marked this, and the who's just went right over my head. So, verse 18, for through him we have both our access in one spirit to the Father. Who is that?
It's Christ.
Okay.
Which one?
18.
What about
17? 17.
He came and
preached us. Christ. And why don't I have those marked?
But the who there is
I would
not
like to blame
Christ.
It. Well, I blame the computer because I was having trouble. All of that is in caps, and I was having trouble with that coming out right. And I think I had it marked, and I went back and changed some things, and I forgot to go back and remark it. Anyway, I'll blame the computer. Okay, so all those are Christ. Okay, verse 22, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Who's that? Christ. Okay. In whom, who is that? Christ. Okay. Let's see, I don't know if there was any others that were that hard.
Let me ask you a question about verse 21, please, before we
okay.
move on.
Okay.
In whom the whole building being fitted together is shown into a holy temple in the Lord. How did you mark Lord? Is that God or Christ?
I put Christ. In whom we're being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. It's in the Lord, because in verse 22, in whom you're being built together into a dwelling of God.
Okay.
That's how I marked it now. Anybody mark it different?
No, I didn't See, it's God's household, 19. Christ is the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
The holy temple and the Lord.
I marked all the Lord's Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. But
I did, and I just couldn't. That's why. But I, you know, I have trouble.
But this temple is in the whole, into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We're built.
In connection to the Lord, we are being built in the holy temple of God.
It's by Him, and it's in Him that is.
Okay.
It's in connection to the Lord.
Okay.
That's the only way we have any connection or dwelling with God. And in the Spirit, how we found out about this is through this revelation by the Spirit.
All right. Makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Verse 5, His holy apostles. I don't think there's any question about who that is. Verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the power, according to the working of His power. Who did you mark there? The His?
God.
I marked God. Doesn't mean it's right, but that's who I marked. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and competent access through faith in Him. Well, let's do this one since we already got there. Verse 12 is Christ, correct?
Both of them, whom and Him?
In whom? Uh-huh. I missed all those whoms. I have to go back and do some markings. Okay, verse 11. Let's start with verse 8 and read through verse 11. Linda, would you read that, please?
To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the infathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in the accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay. So the he there is who?
God.
Okay. Okay, 14, all 14, 15, and 16, who are all of the, whom, he, his, who does that refer to?
That was
Christ.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That may have been God, but I meant Christ. Who are the pronouns referring to in 14 through 16?
Okay.
All right. Drop down to verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Who are the hymns referring to?
God.
Okay. I don't think there were any in the last... does anybody have any questions on the last three chapters of the pronouns? Is there any difficult areas there that... If you read through and you have difficulty, we're going to go ahead and stop. I will pick up with that and just ask if there's any problems with the pronouns there. Okay, are there any questions or any... Anything else before we are dismissed?
So in your asking about this marking, because I must have done it differently. I did all the ins and the uhs and the bys and the, you know.
If they are in connection with the blessings, right. That is
oh,
what we're
in connection with the blessings, not just.
Let me look again. Let me see. There are some that do not have a blessing that is directly tied to it, but what we're looking for is to see that it's in Christ. It's in connection with Christ. It's the ends that are in connection with Christ, not just any end that's in there. We're looking for the ends that are connected in Christ. Just like in verse 1, by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, for the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So the ins and the bys and the throughs and all that we're looking for are in connection with Christ. Was that not plain in the... I don't know if anybody else has looked at that or not, but if you haven't, that's what we're looking for. The ins and the bys and those kind of things that are connected with... they're in connection with Christ. See, it says we'll include all the in Christ or equivalent phrases such as in him when referring to Christ through Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, with him, in whom, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. What we're looking for is showing us the things that all of our blessings that we're going to talk about are in connection with Christ. Anybody else have any questions about the marking for next week? Okay, does anybody know anything about anybody beside Toy that may have came in late and Amanda's cousin? Anybody else? Sandra?